Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about a subject that I think so many of us have heard about, and it's called the Law of Attraction. And that's the title of this book that is authored by Dr. David Chi. And he says you need to unleash your own secret creative power so that you can get what you want. And I want to welcome Dr. Chi to the airwaves.
Thank you, Donna, for having me.
It's my pleasure. May I call you David?
Sure.
Oh, wonderful. Now, you are a dentist. You work
Yes.
in Cocoa Beach, Florida, which is absolutely gorgeous. I've been there. And you have always found the law of attraction, so to speak, fascinating. Why?
Well, ever since this actually came when I was a child, as I was growing up, we didn't have much, and I'm actually not from Florida. I was raised in Illinois, Chicago, and the Chicagoland suburbs, and as we were growing up over there, we were immigrants from Taiwan, and we didn't have much growing up, and so I would always go to the library, and I would find books on, like, success, you know, self-help.
Mm-hmm.
And self-improvement, and I came across books on manifesting things into your life. And I know as a child that's kind of unusual, but this is the stuff I was interested in, you know, because I was interested in this kind of science behind it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I was reading it, I didn't really know what I was learning at the time, but I kind of picked up on some of the, I guess, main principles of it, you know, based on what I knew at the time. And as I kind of indirectly applied this knowledge over the years, as I got older and I took more science classes and, you know, as I matured, I was able to merge the life experiences that I've had so far along with what I've learned all these years, you know, in, from the books I've read.
Your book actually has an extra word in the title, and the word is total law of attraction. When you were younger and you were reading this, this had to have had an imprint on your subconscious. What was one of your earliest experiences with the law of attraction?
It actually started with just, and actually, I mean, the law of attraction is made so popular recently with The Secret, and there was actually one example they had in that, which totally ties into what happened to me when I was a child, when I was testing this information out to see if it really worked or not. I remember at the time, I was probably around 12 or 13 years old, and there was everybody in the neighborhood had this special kind of racing bicycle at the time. And, you know, based on the price that, you know, they cost it at the time, we just couldn't afford that bicycle. And so to fit in with the neighborhood kids, you know, you really had to have one of these kind of bicycles. So, you know, I followed information that I read in the books about visualizing and going through all the steps, and not really knowing exactly what I was doing, but just trying this information out. And after, you know, visualizing and doing the steps outlined in the book, I kind of put it out of my mind and, you know, didn't really think anything was going to become of it until one day later on, my mother approached me and she said that she entered some contest just out of the blue, just entered it, and she won a specific sum of money. And the money was virtually the exact amount needed to get this bicycle. And after that happened, I was just blown away, and I think it just affected me the rest of my life, just that one incident about how I can reproduce the same kind of results doing what I did and you know, to apply it in other facets of life.
In your book, you make the statement, people you've had conversations with regarding this subject have said, I've visualized until the cows come home. I can't get anything that I really, really want. And I'm sure that is stated in many different ways to you. How do you respond to someone like this? Because there are people that will very sincerely and earnestly sit down and say, this is really what I want. And yet, when they go through the steps, things don't happen for them. What would you say to that person?
Well, going through all this and hearing the many comments that you've talked about, you know, when I give them seminars, I've heard people come and approach me and talk about the same, you know, ask me the same kind of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to analyze, you know, where the source of the problem is, it usually comes down to just not knowing all the steps. Like, they usually think they know all the steps, but they really don't. And, you know, and I call it the law of attraction to successfully manifest what it is you want. After all my years of studying this, it really comes down to four main steps. And with the four steps here, I'll list them now since we're on, you know, we're talking about this,
mm-hmm.
is the first is the thought, which everybody knows about, the visualization of the thought. Second is the emotion, which is very rarely discussed. Third is the belief in that thought and the emotion. And the last one is action. And so even though these four steps seem pretty basic, you'd be amazed at how a lot of people fail to, you know, go through each of these steps. They might have two out of the four, or they might have one out of the four. Sometimes they have three out of the four. But a lot of times, if you're missing one of these steps, you just can't successfully manifest what it is you want. And the emotion thing, which I'll get into later, is of critical importance, because throughout the last 100 years, you know, the law of attraction has been talked about, you know, specifically these last, I would say, 5 or 6 years since, you know, The Secret was released.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has been thought this and thought that. If you look at a lot of the books, it's always as you think, or a thought vibration, or everything is thought, thought, thought. And that's kind of been blown, I think, a little bit out of proportion, because what's less talked about and what is probably more important are the emotions behind the thoughts. That's the energy that gives the thoughts the power to manifest. You know, you can have 1,000 thoughts a day, but if there's no emotion behind any of those thoughts are pretty much meaningless. They'll never manifest into reality.
Thoughts need the fertilizer that's going to nourish what you want as a result. I'm just using different words. But I do think that's what feelings are. Feelings,
yes,
and emotions are so powerful. I'll never forget. I'll share this one instance with you. My husband and I had not been married for very long. We only had one car. And when we moved to the Pacific Northwest, everything is spread out all over God's green acres, just like in California, which is where we were from. And you couldn't do very much if you didn't have a car. And I can remember one day, I just got so disgusted, I said, I want a car now. And there was so much emotion behind that thought.
Yes.
Within 2 weeks, there was an opportunity that was given to us through information regarding the availability of automobiles. And within 1 month, I had a wonderful, wonderful automobile that served me well for a number of years. But as long as I live, I will never forget the emotion that I had when I reached a point of just total disgust and saying, I will not tolerate not having an automobile. And it did manifest. And there's so many other stories that have been in my life. That one's just sort of a silly one. But it is really important, that emotional factor. And sometimes I think it is very difficult for people to maybe make that emotion okay. There's something there with that emotion, that trigger. It really does make a difference.
Yes, because here's the thing that a lot of times people don't understand is this. And remember the four steps again: the thought, the emotion attached to that thought, the belief in that thought associated with that emotion, and lastly, action. Now, a lot of times people go through all the steps, but they don't take any action. And if you don't,
mm-hmm,
take any action, you can't complete the whole manifestation process. You can't. You have to reach out and go and get what it is you want. And so you'll find that if there's no emotion behind that thought, emotion's what drives action. So if there's no emotion behind that thought, it's unlikely the person that's, you know, visualizing this without an emotion is going to really get up and take physical action towards what it is they want. And in your case, you made that thought of, oh, you really, really wanted that car. Well, there was a strong emotion behind wanting that car. So when that opportunity arose, you actually took physical action to go ahead and, you know, obtain that car. But a lot of times people never take that action step. They think about what it is they want. They have that feeling of it. But really when it comes down to it, sometimes they get scared. They think, oh, well, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if it's possible. Then the belief factor, you know, sets in. The negative belief factor comes in. And as a result, there's no physical action towards attaining what it is they want.
You talk about the law of default. Tell us what that is.
You mean the law of detachment.
Okay, in here you say the law of attraction is really a law of default.
Oh, yes, yes. You want me to explain what that means?
Please, yes.
Okay. Well, the law of attraction, well, people think of it as this law that you're going to, that, you know, what it is, you attract what it is you want based on, you know, your thoughts that, you know, you're in harmony with. Well, actually, the law of attraction itself is more of a law of default, meaning if you don't understand it completely, how it is to manifest what it is you want, you're gonna live your life by default, meaning when the situation is good, when the times are good, and economy is good, and everything is going well in your life, you know, you're going to manifest good things. But when the times are tough, like kind of what it is now, the recession that we're in, when times aren't that great, you're gonna manifest things based on your negative thoughts. So you kind of just go with the flow of how things are in your life. But when you learn how to deliberately create, which is how to successfully use the law of attraction, which is actually the law now becomes the law of deliberate creation instead, then you actually be able to create your life by design, meaning you'll be able to manifest things even though things don't seem to be in your favor. You'll know how to weather out the tough time and, you know, continuously create more good situations to yourself instead of just going with the flow of how things are in society.
You also talk about working with the subconscious, and the subconscious frequently can sabotage us. And I think that it's very difficult, very, very difficult to get an understanding of how the subconscious works. Talk a little bit about the subconscious, emotion, and repetition. How can we use emotion and repetition to leverage what we don't want to be operating on that subconscious level? What can we do?
Well, most people that you know read books on law of attraction who don't have a really deep understanding of it is to successfully use our manifesting ability that each of us have and within ourselves. We really have to understand first that there is two different distinct minds or entities in our body. The first is the conscious mind, which is located in our brain. And the second is the subconscious, which is located in, depending on what you read, it's the heart or the solar plexus, which is down below. So if you notice the word subconscious, sub means below, like submarine, below the
mm-hmm.
water. Subconscious means it's located below the conscious mind, in the heart or solar plexus. And so the foundational knowledge, kind of like when you learn mathematics, you have to know addition and subtraction to learn anything in math. You need to successfully understand and use the law of attraction. One must have an understanding of the conscious and subconscious mind. And so, to give a brief overview, the conscious mind is the mind that we're operating day to day. You know, we're speaking on the phone right now. Our logic and our intuition—our logic and reasoning is based out of our conscious mind. This is the mind we're using at any waking moment, but the mind that's responsible for bringing things and attracting things into our reality is our subconscious mind, which is, I understand it to be like over 90%. So everything that we're attracting, even though we don't realize it, the people that we meet, the circumstances, the events that happen in our lives are all being done by our subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind also controls all our involuntary bodily functions, such as our breathing, our heart beating, and our digestion, everything else. So the subconscious does a tremendous amount of things in addition to, you know, just what I talked about. So whereas the conscious mind responds to logic and reasoning, the subconscious doesn't. The subconscious mind responds to emotion, repetition, and also images. And so, but the key to making the subconscious work is, again, strong emotion affects the subconscious mind. Also, too, though, it's repetition. It's doing the same thing over and over and over and over again until that repetitious event becomes a belief, a solidified belief in the subconscious mind. And once there's emotion coupled with this repetitious habit, what you would call it, then that's when things start to manifest into our lives. And a lot of times, most of us, we don't understand the law of attraction. We're doing this, you know, by default every single day. We're having a bad day, as you're talking about before, negative things. We have negative emotions, and we don't realize that every time we have a negative emotion, we're subconsciously or unconsciously attracting negative people, negative situations, negative circumstances into our life. And the key is to understand that our feelings at any given moment is the force that's causing our thoughts to manifest. So if you want to have good situations, you want to continuously try to don't dwell on negative things and to have positive feelings, doing things, engaging in activities that make you feel good, which at the same time, those emotions charge the positive thoughts, and again, you'll be surrounded by positive circumstances, whereas with negative emotions, those negative emotions will charge up those, fire up those negative thoughts that you're associating with it, and in turn, bring you circumstances of negative negativity and unhappiness.
You have a chapter in your book dedicated to the law of detachment and the uncertainty principle. And I thought, that's an interesting conversation. What does the uncertainty principle have to do with the law of attraction and manifestation?
Well, for most of our listeners, I would almost guess that the vast majority of people, while they know, the 90% of people that know about the law of attraction, I would say a very small percentage know or even heard of the law of detachment. So probably before I go into the uncertainty principle, I should probably give our listeners like a little basic foundation, probably detachment, the law of detachment.
Go right ahead.
And, yes. The law of attraction, again, is based on what, you know, everybody knows the law of attraction. That's like overkill probably in the media. You go to the bookstores. Everybody knows the law of attraction. But if you flip through a lot of those books and the courses that are taught in the market, you'll be hard-pressed to find really any book, maybe one or two, that even mentions the law of detachment. But the law of detachment is a critical law to successfully making the law of attraction work. If you just have the law of attraction and you don't understand the law of detachment, you will not successfully manifest what it is you want. And so a basic explanation of the law of detachment, because it's hard to understand at first, and the law of detachment is basically like this. It's whatever it is you wish to successfully attract into your life, you have to be, quote, detached from it. You have to be able to let it go. Or in other words, you have to be able to look at it as, okay, even though this is something I really want, I have a strong emotion behind it, I have a strong thought visualization behind it, can I be just as happy without this desire or whatever it is I want? Can I be just as happy without it as I am with it? And so most people, when I explain this to them, it's kind of hard to understand, and they're like, well, if I really want it, why am I supposed to let it go? How can I let it go? And that's the hard part. See, the law of attraction, people make it out. Sometimes people, you know, watch a movie or they read a book, they're like, okay, I'm going to start manifesting all these things, great things in my life, and then when they don't, and when it doesn't come towards them or it doesn't successfully work for them, they start to have doubts about the law of attraction. And it's not because the law of attraction doesn't work. It's because, one, you don't have all the information that you need, and two, you realize when you do have all the information, it's not as easy as you thought it would be. Because, you know, I can tell people right now that everything worthwhile in this world that's great is not going to be easy. There's no easy road to success. And if anybody tells you that success was easy, they're lying to you, because success takes a lot of hard work still. So it's not just about, you know, thinking about what it is you want and just, you know, poof, it's showing up in front of you. There is some work behind it, a lot of work sometimes. And one of the things is, again, going back to what I was saying before, is if you want to successfully use the law of attraction, you also have to understand about being detached from your desire for you to successfully manifest it.
Mm-hmm.
And going on towards the uncertainty principle, there's, how do I put it in much easier to explain terms? When you read a lot of books on law of attraction, you're kind of, I guess the common knowledge is, okay, whatever you focus on all the time, you attract toward yourself. So you get this idea that, you know, if I visualize what I want all the time, if I keep thinking about it all the time, I'm going to keep attracting it to myself. And I kind of fell into this trap, this understanding of it, I guess, because it was so popular, but I fell into the same thing. And when things didn't start to work out, I was like, well, you know, why isn't it working out? Well, it's because there is a flip side to this whole thing. Yes, it's true that whatever you focus on all the time, you attract toward yourself. But it's something that you can't focus on all the time. When you'll find out as you study deeper into this that when you focus too much on what it is that you want, you're actually mentally pushing your desire away from you. And it's due to the uncertainty principle, which is part of quantum physics. But it also has to do with detachment. And so it's about having periods of focusing on what you want and periods of letting go, which is detaching, periods of letting go of what it is you want. And I know it sounds kind of counterintuitive, but that's how you successfully attract what it is you want. Your subconscious mind has to have time to relax, has to have time to not be focused on what it is you want for it to successfully attract what it is you want towards you. If you overwork yourself and think of it too much, your subconscious won't work properly, and it'll actually push your desire, what it is away, you know, what it is that you want away from you.
You have a section in your book, very nicely done, of how to put it all together into a practical method of manifestation. And you go step by step with this, and I thought, this was really well done. You actually have 10 steps to go through, and they're not long and complicated and involved. But one of the things that you mentioned at the end, which is step number 11, you said you can do a mini manifestation session at different times during the day. But as you mentioned just a moment ago, it's letting it go. And there was a man called Ernest Holmes who said, you need to be able to release. And letting go is another way of saying the same thing, so that when your thought, which is solid energy, is put out into the universe, it has a chance to find its rightful place. And it's been a fascinating observation to me how many times things will evolve, and we might actually get exactly what we want, and we find that we've not thought of certain components. And I'll never forget someone saying, it's wonderful to wish for $1 million, but you better figure out how you're going to manage it so that it's not gone within 24 hours after you get it.
Exactly.
There are so many different things that we have to learn and grow through. And it's not just about physical stuff. It can be about spiritual ideas. It can be about knowledge in many different expressions. There's so many things that we may aspire for in our life, but lots of times we have to be aware of, again, different modalities. And there was a lady, that very wise lady, who was married to someone who just had these grandiose ideas about what they wanted. They wanted to go out and do various things and have all kinds of, let's say, luxurious trappings in their environment. And she said, well, if you want to do that, then you better learn how to think like the people think in those environments. Because right now, you have got a bread and butter mentality. And if you want emeralds and diamonds, you better graduate. And I always got a big chuckle out of how her practical common sense would bring someone to this, whoa, I better think about certain things. She said, you might desire a Cadillac, but you better also wish to be able to afford to take care of it when you get it.
Exactly.
And there are those little practical applications that people think about. And I have to chuckle. I think one person that had wanted a Rolls Royce, they wanted it so badly. And, oh, they just loved to look at the cars, and they went for that. And they had a girlfriend said, okay. And they said, I want a Rolls Royce for Christmas. Well, she got him one. It was a toy car. She got him the toy car. I loved it. And so did he. He got a big kick out of it, apparently. But he said, I realized that she had really shopped around for that Rolls Royce. Of course, it was substantially different, the one she got me, from price of what the real one is. But it's really fascinating, David. What was, when you have gone through this, because you've obviously taken the time to write out your thoughts here, what was your biggest challenge in being able let's say, to be comfortable with understanding the law of attraction, the law of detachment, the law of uncertainty, all of these things that you're mentioning in the book. What were some of your darkest, I'll use the term darkest moments, that made you realize that you had to really come to a full understanding with this so that it would serve you as you wanted it to?
Well, the most difficult part, I would say, was this. I mean, when I set out to write my book, I mean, this was, 2009? And there's already a ton of Law of Attraction books out there. So
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, how am I going to contribute anything different? Well, I knew based on, because I bought a lot of the products that are on the market, so I know what's out there, and I knew I had some rather unique information to contribute, even though there's so much stuff already out there. I knew I had some unique information, but there's some difficulties. One, how would I assimilate all this information and put it together into a way in which the average person who has little to no knowledge of the law of attraction understand it? So that was going to be it, because there's so much information, and you're like, and I'm like, okay, how do I make it so the average person can just pick it up and, you know, read it and just understand it? So that was a tough challenge. And so I had to be able to explain it in a way where I wasn't going to confuse the reader. I had to kind of just use everyday examples, analogies, and just basic terms to kind of go through some of the, you know, the quantum physics, because sometimes people hear quantum physics and they start running for the woods.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to be able to give the science behind it too, because when you just tell people, just be happy, think positive thoughts, I mean, that's just not enough sometimes. Sometimes people, and I've found this to be true, people need like a science, some kind of a science behind it as a foundation to say, okay, there is proof, quote-unquote proof, that this works. And when someone has, you know, a belief in it, has a scientific foundation behind it, they're much more likely to believe what they're doing. And of course, you know, the four steps: thought, emotion, belief, action. When there's a belief behind it, then that, you know, that just adds to the success rate, you know, of using, you know, the material that I'm teaching.
You have some points in your book, one which I thought was quite interesting that I was not aware of. It's called Snag Software. You encourage people who may have a problem visualizing, and this is known by many. I would say probably a good portion of my listeners know this, the vision board or the storyboard, whatever it is you would like to see come into manifestation in your life, and taking pictures out of magazines, etc. What is this Snagit software? This is quite interesting.
Yeah, it's a software. I forgot where I heard it from, but I didn't really know it existed until a few years ago. But what it is it's like a screen capture software, because right now I think a good majority of the population is starting to go on the Internet. That's a new, you know, the new
mm-hmm.
thing. Everybody's going on the Internet. There's smartphones, there's, you know, iPads. There's so many things right now. And so the Internet's become a big thing. And so we're finding out less and less people are buying magazines and less people are buying, like, newspapers. Everybody's going on the Internet to find their information. And so, well, I guess you could still do it the old school way of cutting pictures out of magazines and, you know, putting them up on a board and, you know, looking at it all the time, what it is you want. Now there's another way, which I use personally, is that, you know, it's a software which captures, you know, the image on your screen. So let's say you went online and saw this picture of a car you wanted. Well, now you can take a picture, like, take like a screen capture, a screenshot of it, and save it as a file to your computer, and then just retrieve it when you have that picture. I mean, Snag is just, a brand name of a software, but I'm sure there's other many different kinds since then.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, when I discovered it, there's got to be a lot of different types of software out there which can, you know, do screen capture of what it is you're looking at. And so it could just be anything you want, whether it's a car, a house, anything that, you know, that you have a thought about, that you have a desire, that you want to try to use the law of attraction to manifest into your life. You can just get the software and then just, you know, follow the steps to capture the, you know, the image onto your computer screen, save it as a file, and then when you have to look at it, you just retrieve it from your file. But there's something that I have to kind of go in detail here, and that's, again, vision board and everything else is great, but here's the thing. Again, going back to detachment, you don't want to, like, leave it up all the time to where you're constantly looking at it, because, again, that kind of violates the rule of detachment, because if you start looking at it all the time, you know, and you're focusing on it too much, you might actually push it away from you. So I always kind of if I'm giving advice to someone, I'd say, well, if you have a vision board, just put it into your closet, put it in your drawer, or if you have, you know, a picture on your computer, just put it into a file. Don't leave it as your screensaver or anything like that. Just kind of tuck it away and then, you know, focus on it periodically. That's the key. You actually accomplish more when you do a little less instead of doing too much and, you know, getting the reverse, the results that you're looking for.
Well, this has been wonderful, and I think during times like we are experiencing right now, where we are bombarded daily with information about what is not working and constant, what I call, blues of expression, and so many people are going through such tough times, I think understanding that life is always a constant change, first of all, but secondly, no matter what goes on in life, there's always the opportunity to step up and dance with life in a waltz that's going to prove to be very powerful and very significant and enabling you to rise above whatever your difficulties might be. The Total Law of Attraction by Dr. David Chi is a book. It's a very comfortable read. It's something that I would say if you got it, you want to have a pencil in hand or a pen and make notes as you're going through it to those sections, maybe a highlighter like I do. Use whatever tool works so that you can reuse the book as something that reminds you of where you want to keep your focus and how you want your life to go. He's got a wonderful website, lawofattraction.com.
Total Law of Attraction.com.
And there you'll find more information about what he's done. Dr. Chi, it's been wonderful having you about here on the show. Thank you so much for reminding us about how important how we think is and how our actions need to complement what our desires may be.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. Check out Total Law of Attraction. You can unleash your secret creative power to get what you want, what really you want in your life. Dr. David Chi, his last name is spelled C-H-E. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to come.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open, and if you would like to chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a buzz at 888 888- 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. By the way, I want to apologize. It's Dr. Cha and it's not Dr. Che. I do things phonetically. Sometimes I don't get people's names right, but his last name is spelled C-H-E. He said, people mispronounce my name all the time, Donna. I said, okay, I apologize. So I want to correct myself on the air. Okay, again, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into if you'd like to chat with me. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about a subject that I think is extremely important. Earlier today, I was listening to a broadcast that just was amazing. It was about someone here in the Seattle area, a student, young kid, teenager, who had posted certain things on the Facebook page. And lo and behold, there at the front door were some FBI agents. Yes, folks. There are people that are watching and listening to what is being said and what's being put out on the internet, and apparently certain topics are hot potatoes, especially if you use the word terrorist and you use other famous people's names, and all of a sudden, ta-da! Well, this kid was putting out all kinds of remarks and statements. Now, they weren't, how can I say, from what I heard about during this broadcast, they weren't anything that in my mind would be something that would be of concern, but that's right, federal agents were at the front door also wanting to find out about what this kid was into and so on and so forth. The poor family is really distressed. Well, what we're talking about tomorrow is a parent's guide to texting, Facebook work, and social media with young people. This is amazingly important. Apparently, there's all kinds of things going through the courts right now regarding Facebook, communication. We're living in a world of technology and speed of communication that's unparalleled in our recorded history as we know it today. So it's something that lots of times youngsters just haven't got a clue about. So Sean Marie Edgington is going to be with me tomorrow, and she's very informative, and she's going to have a personal story to tell that will really touch your heart. Actually, it will tear at your heart, as it did mine. So we're going to have that tomorrow, and this is very significant. And then on Thursday, I can tell you from personal experience that we must, as individuals, take more responsibility for our wellness, because not only are the bills extraordinarily high, but there is just a real reality that health care is going to be a controversial issue for a long time. So why not take over the positioning of being your own boss? Well, Dr. Gary Epler is going to be my guest on Thursday. He's got 5 steps to take charge of your health, real good information that you can use. And then on Friday, I'm going to be having an Australian forensic healer, Mariso Russo, who is visiting in the United States, and we're going to be finding out more about her and what all is going to be happening while she's here in the United States, and how did she develop her unique healing skills that are really impressing a lot of people. So we've got a wonderful lineup this week. I do hope that you'll tell your friends about it and that you'll have the opportunity to listen. And don't forget, you can always listen to the archives later on at your convenience if you would like to do so. Just remember, you can also find out about the guests that are coming up. There is a short write-up on all of my guests under show information for the Donna Sebo Show right here at BBS Radio. Now, I wanted to share with you yesterday this delightful story. Don't forget, you can call me if you want, 888-815-9756. Sometimes in life, there are special circumstances, people, and things that really mean a lot to us, and they're gone. Well, Peg is a woman who really had a very special experience, and when I read the story, I thought, I've got to share it, because it's all about her mother's charm bracelet. Now, it was called Grandma's bracelet, and she had her charms that were engraved with the names and birth dates of her 6 grandchildren. And, of course, there are some of them that were for little boys and some for little girls, and others were just very plain little charms. And she said, my mother had added a charm for me and one for my brother. And she said, my mom also decided she was going to add as a charm a wedding ring that she had had on her finger for many, many years until it was replaced by a beautiful new wedding ring. And she said, eventually, my mom's bracelet had on it, in addition to the ones I've just mentioned, 11 charms for her 11 great-grandchildren. Well, Peg's mom died, and she said, my husband and I went to her home, along with other members of the family, and we were going to distribute all of the different items that were there. And she said, we were just going through all kinds of things, and we knew who wanted what because it had been settled a long time before. But you know what? After we finished doing it, I was walking out of my mom's house, and I fell and I broke my ankle. She said, couldn't travel, couldn't do a lot of things. So I ended up not being able to do as much assistance in taking care of delegating different things to different members of the family. But that's okay. I was in deep grief about the loss of my mother. My ankle, my leg was really a mess. And so she said, I wasn't thinking very clearly. There were a lot of items that nobody wanted, so we eventually gave them all to the Salvation Army, what was left over. So a year passes, Mother's Day rolls around, and she was remembering this wonderful bracelet that her mother had had with all of these special charms. She had totally forgotten about it and was absolutely so distressed with herself because no one had mentioned it. She said, we had discussed the jewelry that had been left, but nothing had been mentioned about this special charm bracelet. So I went back to the member of my family that had gone through most of the jewelry and asked, do you recall seeing a charm bracelet? They said, no, there wasn't anything there. And so she thought, well, I guess it ended up with all the stuff that ended up going to the Salvation Army. But it was more than a year after her mother's death that she received a package from a jewelry store. She had no idea why she was getting a package from this jewelry store, and she opened the box. You probably already guessed. Inside the box was her mother's charm bracelet. That's right. The container, she said, was lined with gray velvet. This was a box that her mother had kept the bracelet in for years. We're going to take a break for just a moment because there's more to this story, and I think you'll enjoy it. This is Donna Sebo, 888-815-9756. I'll be back for the rest of the story in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. All right, I'll finish the rest of the story. Remember the charm bracelet? That Peg thought had disappeared that belonged to her mother. Well, just before we went on break, the charm bracelet was mailed to her in a box that her mother had kept it in for years. It was lined with gray velvet, and the bracelet was just beautiful. It was shiny and bright. Well, there was a note that went along with the box. She opened the note, and it was from the jeweler. The jeweler said that her mother had brought the bracelet into the shop to have a new charm added for her latest great-grandchild. But of course, she became ill, and she was not able to pick it up. He had tried to find out what had happened to her because she had been a regular customer through the years, but when he called the home phone number for Peg's mom, it had been disconnected. In the note, there were these words. She was a lovely lady, and I know this bracelet was a family heirloom. He said he searched the records until he found another customer who lived in the same condominium as Peg's mom. He called her, explaining about the bracelet, and asked if she knew how to contact anyone in the family. She didn't, but guess what happened? That's right, it's the ripple effect. She, in turn, contacted the building manager. The building manager knew Peg, gave the information about her name and address to the woman that was making the inquiry. She then went back to the jewelry store and paid for the new charm, gave the jeweler the information. The lady paid for the charm because she knew Peg's mom had passed. In turn, he shipped the bracelet to her. So Peg has a wonderful ritual that she does every year on Mother's Day. She puts on the silver bracelet that her mom wore with a great deal of love and affection. She said, "I not only remember my wonderful mother every time I put that bracelet on, but I also am very grateful to and appreciative of the two generous people who made the effort to return this cherished family treasure to someone they had never met." Don't ever feel that kindness isn't there and that people don't care, because they do. And I thought Peg's story was just absolutely marvelous. It shows you that there's so much that we just don't realize that's going on in life. And sometimes I get very distressed when I'm watching programs about different things going on in different parts of the world, and here in the United States, the horrific flooding that's going on with the Mississippi River. And you don't hear about the wonderful supportive stories that are evolving, people helping people. Well, I happened to hear one yesterday, and I just thought it was terrific. There is this community, and I don't remember the name of the community. These people know they're going to be flooded. And there's all kinds of young men and women, part of the National Guard, that are out there putting up sandbags. They've put up, I think, over 400,000 sandbags. It's just incredible what these people are doing, trying to help people save their homes to some degree. They know the flooding's going to occur, damage is going to happen, but they're doing everything they can. And so this one couple that had built their dream home, they had spent years, over 10 years, waiting to be able to have their dream home. Their home is right in the line of the flood. And they said, here are all these people out here trying to help us. So you know what they're doing? They are cooking and preparing meals. They are taking hundreds of meals out to the people. She said that this husband and wife, they're just wonderful. They said, they are doing this for us, and the least we can do is give them some good home cooking. And the young soldiers are just absolutely enjoying it tremendously. And it makes them feel very special because there's all kinds of things that the people in the community are doing for these individuals that are putting all this muscle and effort in trying to save and keep back as much damage as possible from the homes of those that are going to be hit so hard. I think this is marvelous. There are so many good people in this world, and I think the more we can talk about people who are out there making a difference, you may not ever see them written up in a magazine, but they're providing meals every day, they're assisting every day, they're courteous, they're kind, they're thoughtful. There's millions of them out there. So I just think it's a wonderful opportunity to share stories about good people doing good things. We hear enough about the bad. Let's look at what we can do to make this world a better place by sharing stories about people that are making a difference by really walking the walk of, I think, right action, right feeling, and good support. And that, to me, is very important. Alfred P. Sloan Jr. had a statement, and I really think it's something we need to keep in mind. It's a little bit long, but I really think it's worth it, reading it. This is what he said. Our vast progress in transportation, past and future, is only a symbol of the progress that is possible by constantly striving towards new horizons in every human activity. Who can say what new horizons lie before us? If we can but maintain the initiative and develop the imagination to penetrate them, new economic horizons, new horizons in the art of government, new social horizons, new horizons expanding in all directions, to the end that greater degrees of well-being may be enjoyed by everyone, everywhere. Alfred P. Sloan, Jr. That's the kind of thinking we need to enforce today. There are always going to be problems. There are always going to be natural catastrophes. There are always going to be economic shortfalls of one kind or another. I don't know of any generations that's ever been exempted from it. It's up to us to take the initiative and say, how can I make a shift? What can I do to be able to be a part of the responsible positioning in life by example of making a good income? There are always going to be stupid people making stupid statements and stupid mistakes. However, we can grow and we can learn. It's okay to make mistakes. You just don't want to keep repeating them over and over and over again. But you want to move on. You want to be able to participate in life with an enthusiasm and a sense of purpose. Just because you've done something one way doesn't mean that that's going to be the only way. And technology, as it has moved forward, has presented its own kind of problems. But, on the other hand, it has created opportunity. So instead of being fearful of change, look at it as a chance for you to learn how to spread your wings and maybe fly a little bit higher than you ever expected in your life. Life is for the living. And let me just share something with you quickly. I know we're going to be out of time here pretty soon. But architect Mick Pierce had to design a building in his native city of Harare, Zimbabwe, that was going to remain cool even though the scorching sun was going to be there consistently. Now, he had to do it without air conditioning. Figure this one out. Zimbabwe, noon sun, whew, hot, 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 hot. no air conditioning. That's a big challenge. The reason they didn't want to do it, it's very expensive to install and to maintain in Zimbabwe. Well, it is anywhere. He found a worthy predecessor to study. Can you imagine who that predecessor was? Try his friendly neighbor, the termite. That's right. He observed termites, and they've been around for a millennium. The insects cool their mud homes using a particular system that catches breezes at the base of the mounds. So after reading research about the beloved termites that everybody loves to hate, he decided to use fans to suck fresh air from the building's atrium and blow it upward through hollow spaces under the floors and then into offices through baseboard vents. Electricity there in Zimbabwe are one-tenth that of comparable air-conditioned buildings, and his structure uses 35% less energy than six regular Harare buildings combined. Ingenious? I think so. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We'll be here tomorrow, same time, same place. Be good to yourselves. Enjoy life. You are alive. You're living. Live it with gusto. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.